Father. Father God, we just thank and we praise you. We magnify your name. We thank you, Father, for everything that you have done and everything you are doing in our midst today. Father God, we thank you for each and every person that's here. We thank you, Father, that today as we go to study your word, we thank you, Father, that that word will penetrate the hearts and the lives of each and every one of us and help us to be doers of the word, not just hearers only. And we thank you, Father, that we'll take that word and we'll take that gospel and we'll go out to the highways and the byways and we'll share it with the people who are down and out looking for something, looking for an answer that we have. Father God, we thank you for revival to this nation, revival to this generation. We thank you, Father, for signs, wonders, miracles, and healings taking place in our midst. And Father, today as we go to minister your word, we come not in our own strength, we come not in our own power, we come not in our own ability, but your strength, your power, your ability, that you be lifted up. And we thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit that lives big on the inside of us, that leads us and guides us and shows us the way and gives us utterance to speak with all boldness the uncompromising gospel of Jesus Christ. Father God, we thank you for the anointing that's present tonight. That anointing that saturates us. That anointing that changes things in an instant. And we thank you, Father, for it now. Father, we thank you for everything that you have done and everything you are doing both here and around the world. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. Well, before we start tonight, I just want to ask a question because I haven't had a chance to ask any of my friends from Oklahoma City, but were you guys waking up yesterday at 7 o'clock? 7:02 by the earth shaking? I know it seemed like it lasted a minute. I'm not sure how long it did last, but it lasted a long time. And, you know, guess it's a sign of the times. You know, as a little boy, and, you know, you see the earthquake movies and you see the stuff in California, whatever. I never dreamed that one day in Oklahoma that we would have a similar experience. So, and I tell you, I'm just glad that unlike a few people who I talked to that happen to have one of those headboards that they have things on top of it. I talked to a guy yesterday. He said him and his wife were asleep and they had some kind of, you know, decoration stuff, you know, ladies put decoration stuff or whatever, some kind of, and like a, almost like a jar or something, it hit the lady in the face. I mean, it wouldn't be funny if it wasn't funny, but you know, it came off the wall. And the only thing that we had a few books came off a bookshelf and a few clothes came out of, came down, tumbling down my wife's closet, but it's okay. She can fix that. So wasn't that bad. It's pretty interesting. Like I said, I never dreamed as a young kid that we'd be talking about earthquakes, you know, later on in life. But you know what? Like I said, it's a sign of the times. Amen. Well, tonight I'm actually going to preach the same. I should say the similar because I never the same. But the same message I preached this morning, although this morning was communion message, and I thought, well, I'll just hold that for next time we do communion in Oklahoma City. But you know, I said some things this morning that I've never said before, and made some really good points. I'm like, you know, I need to share that tonight. So we're gonna share that tonight, even though we're not having communion, but that's okay. And I started in talking about the story where Peter denied Christ three times, and we all know that story there on whenever they were crucifying him, that Peter denied Christ. If you want to turn your Bibles, you can turn with us to Luke, the 22nd chapter. And I'm going to read all the scriptures today from the New Living Translation because, you know, kind of brings it home so we can understand it a little better in today's language. It says, verse 54 of Luke 22 says, "So they arrested him," that being Jesus, "and led him to the high priest's home, and Peter followed at a distance. The guards lit a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat around it, and Peter joined them there. A servant girl noticed him in the firelight and began staring at him. Finally, she said, 'This man was one of Jesus' followers.' But Peter denied it. 'Woman,' he said, 'I don't even know him.' After a while, someone else looked at him and said, 'You must be one of them.' 'No, man, I'm not,' Peter retorted. About an hour later, someone else insisted, 'This must be one of them because he is a Galilean too.' But Peter said, 'Man, I do not know what you're talking about.' And immediately while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. At that moment, the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Suddenly, the Lord's word flashed through Peter's mind. 'Before the rooster crows tomorrow morning, you will deny me three times that you even know me.' And Peter left the courtyard weeping bitterly. Now, obviously, in this situation, Peter, he did know Jesus. All right. I mean, maybe I guess I could put it in some 2016 language we might understand in our political arena. You know, he just didn't recall knowing Jesus. All right. You know, when asked three times, Peter, did you know Jesus? I don't recall. And then suddenly the rooster crows and he realized he just short-circuited a little bit, but he really does know Jesus. No, folks, Peter was flat out lying. He knows Jesus. All right. He knew Jesus. He walked with Jesus. He saw Jesus. He saw the miracles Jesus performed. But, you know, it seems that for some reason, on that day, a lot of people decided to have memory lapses and not know who Jesus really was. Now, in Peter's case, he was just trying to keep from them doing something to him. I mean, you know. But, you know, I was also reading and thought about, you know, even the disciples sometimes, I don't really know if they really know who they're with or the power that Jesus possessed. Because if you go back to Luke chapter 8, the 8th chapter of Luke, and like I said, once again, we'll look at it from the New Living Translation, Luke chapter 8, and verse number 22, and this is the story where Jesus calms the storm. It says, one day Jesus said to his disciples, let's cross over to the other side of the lake. So they got into the boat and started out. As they sailed across, Jesus settled down for a nap. But soon a fierce storm came down on the lake. The boat was filling with water and they were in real danger. The disciples went and woke him up, shouting, Master, Master, we're going to drown. When Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and the raging waves. Suddenly the storm stopped and all was calm. Then he asked them, where is your faith? The disciples were terrified and amazed, saying, who is this man? They ask each other, when he gives a command, even the winds and waves obey him. So they were asking, who is this man? Even though they walked with Jesus, even though they saw him perform miracles, they didn't even know who he was, even though they know who he was. You know, we have to understand and know who Jesus is and what he can do. Now, we also have to understand that when Jesus gives a command, he means it, because when he said, let's go to the other side, he obviously knew that there was a storm brewing. Do you think that he knew? And I believe that he specifically told his disciples out loud, we're going to go the other side, so that way when the winds and waves did come, they wouldn't be afraid. Because they knew they were going to make it to the other side because Jesus said so. See, folks, when Jesus says so, that's all you need. Amen. But I'm here to tell you that Jesus already said so, and sometimes we still fret. You know, that same day on Calvary, when Jesus was hanging, his last words on the earth was, it is finished, meaning your suffering is finished because I suffered for you. He said so, but sometimes we suffer. Sometimes we forget. Sometimes maybe we don't know. Maybe we short-circuited our brain and we didn't realize what Jesus did for us that day. But you know what? Jesus is always in our boat. Amen. Amen. And you know what? If he's in our boat, even if he's sleeping, we don't have to wake him. He's with us. He made the commandment during this time, hey, we're going to go to the other side, meaning they're going to make it. And you know what? Really what Jesus is saying, if you don't like the winds and waves, do something about it. Use your faith. You know, and that's just speak to the wave, speak to the mountain. And he said that many times, but none of the disciples did that. All of them, they just woke him up and said, Master, we're going to perish. So they didn't even have faith they're going to go the other side. Why? Because water was getting in their boat. Because waves and things were looking bad. See, what happens is we let circumstances determine our actions. We let circumstances determine our actions. And even though we know that God is for us, even though that we know Jesus Christ is with us, whenever circumstances come, we forget about Jesus and forget about he's with us and start looking at how bad it really is. Instead of looking about how good he really is. and how he's taking care of our situation, how he's taking care of our problem, how he's already commanded everything to stop, how he's given us authority in his name. You know, but sometimes we forget who he is. You know, going back to that day on Calvary, obviously the crowd there must have forgot about Jesus, you know, the one who they called the King of the Jews. Because when Pilate, he asked him, he said, well, this guy Jesus, he hadn't done anything. Isn't he your king anyway? He says, you know, I got to release somebody. That's kind of a tradition. And so should I just release Jesus back to you? And they said, no, crucify him. Give us Barabbas, the murderer. I mean, they chose a murderer over Jesus. So remember everywhere Jesus went, the multitude thronged him. People came to him for miracles and healings or whatever. Well, what are they going to do now? They're going to crucify Jesus. I mean, it makes no physical sense. Evidently, a lot of those folks that were there with him must have had a mind warp or they short-circuited. They did something. They forgot about what Jesus had done for them. You know, but we have to remember what Jesus has done. Turning back, and we'll go a bit there to Luke chapter 23. Luke, the 23rd chapter. And I purposely stayed in Luke, you know, so this make it a little easier for you guys. All right, Luke, the 23rd chapter talks about that day. And after they said, crucify Jesus and give us Barabbas. So this is kind of the account. It says, verse 32 says, both criminals were led out to be executed with them. When they came to the place called the Skull, they nailed him to a cross, and the criminals were also crucified, one on his right and one on his left. But then Jesus looked at the people, the same people who had a mind, something happened to their mind, and they said, crucify him. And he said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. You know what? Even though that people were that they were talking bad against Jesus, Jesus still loved them. You know, and I think that's the ultimate example, you know, and we're supposed to love our neighbors. You know what? Even when people come at us with hatred, we should come back with love. And that's following the example of Jesus. You know, we come back with love because, you know what? We love them anyhow. It didn't matter. And one thing I do want to point out, that Jesus came for the whole world and he died for the whole world. He didn't come just for the Christians. And I think sometimes people at church forget about that Jesus came for the world. Jesus came so that everyone might be saved. And I understand some people won't be saved, but he sure wants you to. He came that you might have an abundant life, according to John 10:10. He came so that you might have a good life, so you might have, you know, things better. And that was all part of the plan why he had to die on the cross. And then he went to defeated Satan and took away the keys. But it was interesting because these people, they didn't know what they were doing. And then the soldiers, they gambled for his clothes by throwing dice. But there was one man that day that knew who Jesus was and didn't forget about Jesus. And that goes down to verse 40. It says, you know, well, actually, starting in verse 39, we'll start there. It says, one of the criminals hanging beside him scoffed, so you're the Messiah, are you? Prove it by saving yourself and us too. So he wanted to make sure he concluded himself, you know, because just in case he really was a Messiah, go ahead and save us too. All right, while you're at it. But the other criminal, he protested. He said, don't you fear God? Even when you have been sentenced to die, we deserve to die for our crimes, but this man hasn't done anything wrong. Excuse me. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus replied, I assure you, today you will be with me in paradise. Now, it's amazing how the one person who didn't have a mental warp and knew who Jesus really was a sinner, a criminal, a guy who even says deserves to die. But you know what? At the last minute of his death, he says, Lord, remember me. And it's so amazing how our God loves us so much that even if you made a mess of your entire life, he still wants you. Even if you are a criminal, he still wants you, he still loves you, and he'll still save you. Now, this is the most amazing part to me, you know, many people, they don't ask questions when it's concerned in the Bible. I always do. Because I always think about, well, what would I do in that situation? You know, the other criminal who just had mocked Jesus a little bit, he could at that very moment said, you know what, Jesus, I'm sorry, remember me too. And Jesus would have remembered him, but he didn't. Think about, he missed the marvelous opportunity. Even when he heard Jesus tell the guy, you're going to be with me in eternity. Man, don't miss out on your opportunities. You know what happens sometimes is we're going through life and things are happening and the devil tells you, hey, you know what? You can't get healed because you haven't been good enough. You can't get set free because you haven't been good enough. You don't have to be good enough, folks. I don't care how bad you've been. I guarantee you that none of you here in this room is going to be as bad as that guy. As bad as that criminal. In fact, I mean, he was so bad, he says, we deserve to die for what we've done. He even knew that he deserved it. You know what? The great thing about it is with Christ, you don't deserve anything. Maybe you do deserve it, but you don't get it. You don't get what you deserved. You get a good life. But see, we have to remember who Christ is and what he's done for us and how he's changed our life that day on Calvary. And how he gave his life for us. And you know, and because of Jesus, there's nothing that we cannot do. Amen. You know, but a lot of times what happens is that whenever we face our toughest situations, our first thought out of our head is, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? And that's where you mess up right there. It's not about what you are going to do. It's about letting him help you in your situation. Amen. And knowing what to do. When you're facing your worst situation, turn to God. Trust in the Lord. You know, when you know, we talk about the scripture, you know, renewing of our mind. And a lot of people think about that. Well, that's whenever I've been in sin. I got to renew my mind. But you got to renew your mind, you know, to understand who you are in Christ. Renew your mind to understand what Christ did for you. That's renewing our mind as well. Hey, remember what Jesus did. Remember that he loves you. Remember, he loves everybody. And he cares about you. And he doesn't want you to suffer, but he wants you to have an abundant life. He even said so in John 10:10. He told us that he doesn't want people to suffer. Doesn't want people to not be healed. Doesn't want you to have it hard. So why are we having it hard? Because we forget that he's there to help us. And too many times that we don't cry out, you know, instead of crying out for him to help us, we go into a pity party. We go into a depression. We go into a fit. Or we start blame shifting. Very common thing most humans do. You know, when things are going bad, you blame your spouse, you blame your friends, you blame your neighbors, you blame anyone that you can blame, except for yourself, because that would be bad. Now, I found out most of the time when everyone's blaming somebody else, it's usually them that did it. You know, so, you know, quit blaming anybody. You don't even have to blame yourself. Just ask the Lord to help you. That's all you got to do. That's all you have to do. I want you to turn to my mom's favorite scripture, Philippians 4:13. Philippians 4:13. And like I said, we're going to read that from the New Living Translation, which I don't even know if I've ever read that from this translation till today. It says, "For I can do everything." I want you to say everything.
Everything
through Christ who gives me the strength. Now, it doesn't say you can do everything, but it says you can do everything because Christ gives you the strength, but you have to remember about Christ. You got to renew your mind. and realize everything means everything, you know, or all things. There's nothing you cannot do. That means if you can do everything, there's nothing you cannot get through. There's no situation too hard. There's no bill that's too big. There's no sickness that's too big. There is nothing that can stop you if you know who you are in Christ. Because it's Christ that gives you the strength. It's Christ that gives you, you know, he helps you through your situation. You can do all things through Christ. You can do everything. So whenever you need to do something, why don't you let Christ help you? Amen. Now, if you're having a pity party, he's not helping you. Right. He doesn't have pity parties. It's not about a pity party. It's about, you know what, Lord? I need help. Help me, Jesus. Yes. I know some people, you know, laugh at people, you know, when they cry. But you know what? Let's just be honest. Let's just talk. Let's just make it real. When you need help, ask for help. Man, if I don't care how bad you've been in life. I don't care if you've messed up 70 times 7 times 7 times 7. It doesn't matter what you've done. It's not about you. It's about Jesus. Amen. It's about that he loves you, that he cares about you, and he's still there trying to help you if you let him. You know, the reason a lot of us are in our situations is we don't let them come in. Now, it's not that we mean to. What happens is, back in John 10:10, he talks about there is a thief, the devil himself, and he comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And he'll try to put thoughts in your mind that will keep you from renewing your mind. And he'll tell you, you know what, you're not good enough. Well, Jesus doesn't have time for you. Oh, no, you need to suffer for Jesus. You know, see, so he gets you into some kind of weird theology because you don't have to suffer for Jesus because he's already suffered for us. It says that by his stripes, we were healed. So if you're suffering for Jesus, you're suffering for no reason. Because he suffered for you. And in fact, that cross that he was, you know, that he had to bear, he didn't deserve that, but that was your cross. He took it from you. So you don't have to bear that cross. All you have to do is come to him. And all you have to do is ask him. You know, it's just that simple. Skipping down a few verses to Philippians 4:19, another verse that says, "And this same God who takes care of me," Paul's talking to the church of Philippi, says, "The same God takes care of me, will supply all your needs from his glorious riches, which have been given to us in Christ Jesus." See, Jesus Christ is the key to having everything that we need. These glorious riches were given in Christ Jesus, or by Christ Jesus. It's because of Jesus that we can get through that situation. Because of Jesus that we have enough. In fact, you know what? Jesus says we have more than enough. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Now, the reason that we don't have more than enough is because we don't expect more than enough. You know, we get what we expect. And most of us, you know what? If we were barely getting along and barely making it, we would be okay with that. Hey, don't settle for second best. What do you need? Ask the Lord to help you. You know, he's always there. And it says that Jesus will never leave us nor forsake us. He's always with us. All the time. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days out of the year. If it happens to be a leap year, 366 days that year. There's not a day, there's not a minute, there's not an hour. There's not a millisecond that Jesus is not with you. But many times we don't call upon him. Many times we don't ask him. And usually it's because We do not think we're good enough. We think that we've messed up. And like I said, not one person in this room has messed up as bad as that man that was hanging next to Jesus. But even him deserved to be in glory. Amen. Jesus Christ came for you regardless how many times you mess up. And you say, well, but this, I mess up after I was saved. I don't care when you messed up. I don't care, you know, what you did. All I care about is that you come to Jesus and said, you know what? I messed up, Jesus. Help me. And he's there for you. And he loves you. And he looks at you and says, I will. I'm here to help you. I'm here to get you out of your mess. I'm here to help you through your situation. I want you to turn to 1 John chapter 4. Verse number 4. Many of you know this verse and you've read it, but I want to read it here in the New Living Translation. It says, but you belong to God, my dear children. Understand that you belong to God. You're God's possession. And if you're born again, you belong to God. That means you're always with him. Now, I know some people are name droppers and things like that, but you know what? We have the ultimate name to drop. I'm with him. Now, we all know that God can do anything. The things that are impossible to man are possible with God, and you're with him, and he's with you. And everywhere you go, you're with God. And everywhere you step, you're with God, and he's with you. You know what? That should make you sad to know that you're with God. And if you're with God, there's nothing that's impossible with God. All things are possible. So I want you to remember every time, whenever something happens and it looks like there is no way out, hey, but I'm with God. I'm with him. He's with me. You know, that'll change the way you think. Instead of thinking about your troubles and tribulations, you're thinking about, man, if I'm with God, he's going to take care of me. That's right. He takes care of his children. You know, it goes on to say, you have already, I want you to notice it says you already. You have already won a victory over those people. Already means it's already been done. Now, when was it done? It was done 2,000 years ago when Jesus hung on the cross. He took care of that. He made you victorious at that point in time. So if you've already won, quit trying to win again. See, many people are crying and said, Jesus, come and help me. Help me win. Help me get through this. You know what? He's already helped you. And he is helping you. You've already won. You are victorious in Christ Jesus. Now, what you have to do is, like I said this morning, you have to cast your cares upon him and say, you know what? I'm tired of caring about this stuff. This stuff is weighing me down. God, take care of it. And when you cast your cares upon him and let him care about it, then you're not caring about it. Now, one example to how you can figure out whether you cast your cares or didn't cast your cares, if you cast your cares and left them here at the altar, left them here in the church, and then you go home and you're worried about those cares, you didn't cast them to anybody. You took them with you. So I want you to give God your ultimate care package. Everything you're worried about, everything you're concerned about, everything that you can't handle yourself. And even if you could handle yourself, you know what? Let's just make it easy. Just give it all to God. Amen. Said, God, please take care of me. And he will. In fact, he's waiting for your cares. In fact, he loves to have your cares. But if he has your cares, then you can't care anymore. Real Christians don't care. Now, I mean, they do care about people, but they don't care about problems. Amen. You know, my grandfather always said it this way. whenever a problem came and a situation came, you know, usually in his situation was a financial situation, he said, just another opportunity to show how good my God is. He didn't worry about it. He didn't try to figure out. He said, God, this is what I'm going through. This is what I need. I need this amount of money to, you know, because, you know, we had some things happen. A car broke down or this happened, you know. I just gave it to God. And God was always faithful. Man, if you'll leave it alone, he'll take care of it. But if you keep trying to handle your own cares, nothing's going to happen. And that's what a lot of people say, well, I have trouble with my faith walk. It's because they're trying to do everything. Your faith walk is you not doing anything and realize Jesus has already done it all for you. Just ask him and receive. Yeah, but I don't see it. See, you're not moved by what you see. That's the problem, is you're seeing situations. You're like the disciples. You weren't seeing Jesus in the boat. You were seeing the waves and the water. Look to Jesus, the author and finisher. Understand that Jesus is always with you. He's always for you. He's never against you. All right, so it says you've already won a victory over these people because the Spirit who lives in you is greater than the Spirit who lives in the world. The Spirit that lives in you, the greater one, is greater than the things in the world. And I tell you what, you've been given the name of Jesus. That at that name, that demons have to tremble. I mean, that's pretty awesome. Most people are afraid of demons. Or they don't think they exist. But you know what? At the name of Jesus, one name, things have to fall down. How's that work? I don't know. I'm not trying to figure out how. That's the problem. People are trying to figure out how. Well, let me see how. If I can figure out how it works, I'm going to use it. No, you know, with the things of God, you can't figure out how with your own mind. Just do it. Be like Nike slogan. Just do it. Simply trust God. Simply believe in God. Simply ask God to help you. Just let it go. Man, there are so many Christians that are so beaten down and burdened down with all kinds of worry and they're worried about everything. And it's actually, you know, because they're so worried, they can't enjoy life. But that wasn't what Jesus came. He didn't come for us to be worried the rest of our life. He didn't come for us to be depressed. He didn't come for us to be sick. But he came for us to live an abundant life. Abundant life is having more than enough. More than enough. Everything that we need. I want to leave you guys off tonight in John chapter 14. John the 14th chapter, the 12th through the 14th verse. Jesus talking, and I want you to notice it says, I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me. Understand, he was talking to anyone. He wasn't talking to his disciples. He wasn't talking to his select few. He wasn't talking about to the ones that tithe the biggest or give the biggest or the ones that are the most godly in church. He says anyone. Kind of like whenever over in Mark 11, he says that whosoever says. He says that anyone can do this. He says, I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me, anyone. He didn't say ministers. He says anyone. I want each and every person here to understand that you're an anyone. Amen. Does everyone understand that they're an anyone? Amen. Everyone understand that this verse applies to them? Because when I read this verse, you're like, oh, I don't know how am I going to do that. You got to just quit doing it and let God. All right, it says, anyone who believes in me, the same works that I have done. I mean, what did Jesus do? I mean, he walked on the water, he changed the water into wine, he fed the 5,000, he did miraculous things. He healed people. But most importantly, he loved everybody. the things that I did, and even greater works, because I'm going to be with the Father. And see, you know, after he died, he went to the Father, and his Spirit dwells in us. And the reason that we can do greater works is because he's still doing the works with you. Amen. He's in you.
That's right.
He's with you and you're with him. And it's not really that you're doing anything. He's still doing the same work. You're not doing anything. You're just letting him work through you. It's just that simple. And that's the problem. Too many people are trying to do something. Let him do it through you, with you. You know, and it goes on to say this. He says, you can ask for anything. So anyone can ask for anything in my name, in the name of Jesus, and I will do it. So whatever you ask in the name of Jesus, what does that mean? It says, you know what? If I have a financial situation, I say, Father God, in the name of Jesus, I thank you that this money's coming in to pay this bill.
Amen.
Well, that's a simple prayer. How do you, I mean, that's nothing fancy. Man, you know, when you didn't say anything about you know, asking the Lord to forgive you and all that. He just said, if I ask anything. Now, it's, you know, the stickler here says, if I believe in him, I got to believe in him. And if I ask anything, he said he's going to do it. You know, and he says, I will do it so the Son can bring glory to the Father. But then he goes on and repeats himself. Anyone who repeats himself means it. That's why one of the things that we do whenever we minister and preach is we repeat ourselves over and over again to try to bring home a point. But Jesus said, you know, you can ask anything in my name and I will do it so the Son can bring glory to the Father. And then he says this in verse 14, yes, ask for anything in my name and I will do it. So he said it twice to you. Whatever you need, just ask and he's going to do it. That's pretty simple. It's not hard. Is it hard to ask? No. You know, but see what we're like, well, how is he going to do it? I don't know. I don't know how he's going to do it. You know, and you say, but you know, you don't understand. You don't understand. I need a miracle. Okay. You don't understand. This is my God. See, you don't know the same Jesus I know. You don't know what he's done. You don't know because, you know, whatever he's done before, he'll do it again. And I, whatever miracle you might need, he's still performing miracles.
Amen.
All we got to do is ask, because it says anything. It doesn't say, okay, here's a list of things you cannot ask for. You can't ask for this and this and this and this and this and this. He didn't say that. He says anything. Everything. Whatever you need. See, if you can believe, you shall receive. But all we got to do is ask. You know, a lot of times, I mean, we don't have it because we don't ask for it.
Amen.
Ask, well, we will and it shall be done. Just ask. Instead of sitting around trying to figure out what you're going to do and how you're going to get through it, just ask God. Just ask in the name of Jesus. It's not that hard.
Amen.
You can all do it. The problem is what happens is that when we start facing situations and trouble, we become like these people. We kind of have our brain goes tilt or something, and we forget about what Jesus has done for us. We forget about what he's done in the past. We forget about how much he loves us. And the devil starts pounding in our head and says, you know what? You're not going to make it. You know, you've been bad. You know, it doesn't matter how bad you've been. It doesn't matter what you've done. Jesus loves you. He cares about you, and you can make it. All you got to do is ask him. Ask what you will, and it shall be done. Ask if you can, if anyone asks anything in my name, I will do it. You know, if he's going to do it, then why are you worried about it? Why are you fretting about it? You know, it's interesting because I think sometimes people trust men more than they do God. Because if one of their good friends that has the wherewithal to help them financially says, I'll take care of it, they would like, okay, that takes the load off. But when Jesus Christ says, I'll take care of it, we're like, I don't know what I'm going to do. You know, so you're trusting some well-off individual over Jesus. Because as soon as he says he'll take care of it, it takes a load off. But we've read it over and over again that Jesus says he'll take care of it. In fact, he already did 2,000 years ago. He took care of it. All we got to do is ask him. Just ask. And it shall be done. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for each and every person that's here. And we thank you, Father, that in the tough times, in the trials and tribulations, and that when things are going bad, that they'll remember this message. And instead of fretting about what's going on, they'll remember that Jesus Christ is with them. He'll never leave them nor forsake them. He's right with them. God is with them. And remember, all they got to do is ask. All they got to do is ask, and he'll help them every single time. And Father God, we thank you that whenever things are going the worst, help us to renew our mind and remember how good Jesus is. Father, we thank you once again for each and every person. But Father, we thank you if anyone is here that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that tonight, before they go, that they'll come to the realization of Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Or maybe they're here tonight and they say, Craig, I knew Jesus at one time, but I turned my back and I went away. And tonight I want to come back and I want to rededicate my life to God publicly. If you're here and you've never been saved, or maybe you at one time walked with Jesus, but you turned your back and you went away. Lift your hand. We want to pray with you. We want to make sure you have a no-so experience with Christ Jesus. Or maybe you're here tonight and you say, Craig, I'm saved. I know I'm saved, but I've never been filled with the Holy Spirit. You guys talk about that with evidence of speaking other tongues. If you never experienced that, it's for you tonight. So if you're here today and never been saved or want to rededicate your life to God or want to be filled with the Spirit, tonight, just lift your hand. We want to pray with you. I don't see any hands. Father God, we thank you if anyone is here that doesn't know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We thank you for sending laborers across our path on a daily basis. And we thank you for ministering to them like never before. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. Let's all stand up. Before we go, if there's anyone here that needs healing in their body, come on down here. We want to minister God's healing power to you. You know, we've had many testimonies about how God healed them. I tell you what, a few weeks ago, we had a lady here. They were going to get ready to amputate her foot. And I don't know if you saw it. She couldn't walk. She came in with a cane and she left carrying her cane. It was amazing. Amen. I haven't talked to her since then, but you know, it's amazing. She said she wasn't in pain anymore. Praise God. God's a good God. Amen. So if you need healing for anything, come on down here. Amen. Is this for somebody else? All right. What do they need?
My mother's in a car wreck.
Okay.
And the doctor says she's more than she's right down.
So. Need a miracle. Amen. I want you to stretch your hands out toward this little bear and this cloth. We need a miracle here. She was in a car wreck and the doctor says she's paralyzed. But praise God that we know a miracle working Jesus. Father God, we just thank you right now. We thank you, Father, right now. As we lay our hands upon this little bear and this cloth, we thank you for the healing power of God and the miracle working power of God flowing in this cloth. And Father God, we just thank you for just touching this body from the top of their head to the soles of their feet. No matter what the doctor says, we thank you, Father, that we're bringing forth life and health and healing. In the name of Jesus. And Father God, we just thank you right now that you'll be here with the family. And we thank you, Father, for your love and compassion and mercy upon them. And Father God, we just thank you for everything that you're doing in our life. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise you, Father. God's a good God. God's still in the miracle working business. You know what? He doesn't want people not to walk again. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. And I want you, whenever you think about it, Just say a prayer. I mean, you know, maybe you're walking through your day life. Just remember that prayer cloth, you know, to that lady who needs not only healing but miracles because of a car wreck. Amen. Praise God. God's a good God. Amen. If you're a first time visitor, we're first of all glad to have you. But we have a gift for you, and there'll be some people come to bring you out and give you a special gift. So just go with them, and you know, we're glad to have you, and we welcome you to come back at any point in time. And you know, if you don't live around this area, whenever you are in the area, we encourage you to come back. Amen. Amen. Also, you ladies that are interested in going to Kindle the Flame, Miss Heather will be out there by the couch area out there. Amen. Well, the way we dismiss around here is pretty simple. Is they'll sing the song, give me time to get back to the door, and I'll be at that door over there, shake your hand. If you don't want to shake my hand, that's okay. There's a door over there. You can go out and you can still leave. But we encourage you to go out and shake our hands whenever you leave. And anyway, you know, but if you don't want to, there's a door over there. That's okay. We're not going to be mad at you. You know, you use that door. Amen. Amen. Well, praise God. Don't forget next week, same time, 6 p.m. Invite somebody. Bring somebody with you. I mean, the way for the church to grow is bring someone with you. You know, say, well, I don't know how to get anyone with you. Just bring them. All right. So tell them you get this funny guy who's kind of a semi-comedian type minister type guy. I know I'll be here next week too. Amen. God bless you.